Good morning, everybody. Questions about taxes, we'll have to go to the accountant. Good morning. We're going to be looking in Romans chapter 5. We're going to pick it up at about verse 12 and go through the paragraph that goes through verse 17. You remember when we were looking at Romans chapter 5, Romans had, this chapter has three, in English, three therefores, which connected different things. And they all really connect to, back up into chapter 4, when it talks about how Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses and raised to bring about our justification. And these three statements or three segments in chapter 5 are all built upon that. But it also points back to immediately the things that were in the previous paragraph. And what we're going to begin looking at today goes back into chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, and really focuses on the connection to the term reconciliation. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, and we'll be talking a little bit about that. We do have a couple people on the prayer list, or at least one new person on the prayer list. We have Jim's cousin who has kidney cancer, and we've placed him on the prayer list. So take a look at that. His name is Rick. And, of course, the last name is Tobias, so Rick Tobias, okay? He's new on the prayer list. Shannon is going to try to make it for worship today, so we'll hopefully see her in a little while. And other than that, I think the prayer list is basically the way it's been for the last couple of weeks. Yes? Okay. The chemo and all of that's making you not have any appetite, and yeah. Mike Bodman's mother, when she was having chemo, had no appetite, couldn't eat anything, nothing tasted any good, except they found one thing that she could taste, and once they found that, she started eating things again. Hot sauce. And the hotter the better. She normally, before she had that chemo, she normally wouldn't touch hot sauce. Didn't like it. But she found out by accident that's the only thing she could really taste. And it wasn't hot anymore, but there was a taste to it, and it was a good taste. So she began smothering everything with hot sauce. Very strange, very strange. Well, let's go to our Father in prayer, then we'll get into our study this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us and strengthen us and help us as we study from your word. But we also ask, Father, that you be with those on our prayer list, specifically be with Jamie, help her to regain an appetite and to regain her health as she struggles against cancer, and also be with Jim's cousin and help him as he's fighting cancer. We pray, Father, that you will just strengthen all of us in our faith, help us in our daily life and our daily journey. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go back to Romans chapter 5. Verse 12 starts and says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned, for until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which comes from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. All right, there's a lot there, and it is a convoluted sentence structure, so it's going to take us a little bit to kind of tear it apart. But one of the things we've got to see is the connection back up through all of this to what he's been trying to get us to really appreciate, and that is what Jesus did on the cross. He's back up in the previous paragraph. He says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ Jesus died for those who are pretty good people." No, who? The ungodly, right? God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were striving to get right with God, Christ died for us. Right? Wrong? Yes? No? Not according to your book. Good. While we were still what?
Sinners.
Christ died for us. All right? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That's the key, is this idea of reconciliation. Now, reconciliation is a key term in understanding what it is that Jesus does. Because what it is that reconciliation, first of all, implies that there is some sort of break. A break in what? Huh? A break in a relationship. And that break that is there is a break between God and man. This break has occurred, and it's just, we're broken. I mean, it's a broken thing. It's not fixable from the point of view of man trying to somehow push his way past the break and back to God. We can't do that. And the break was caused by sin. Yeah. The break was caused by sin, which is actually what the topic of this paragraph is. It's explaining where this break came from. Reminding us once again. It's actually going back and covering from a slightly different angle the same sort of material that he began doing in chapter 1. When he starts talking about the wrath of God. How we're all under the wrath of God. And we're under the wrath of God because all of us have sinned. But so here's this break, and we can't get past the break to go back to God. So what God has done in Jesus Christ is he has come to us, and he has reconciled us in his Son. Okay? Now, the thing about it is, this reconciliation only occurs when man accepts what God has done. Okay? In other words, the reconciliation is done, but it is on behalf or for all mankind, but all mankind will not what? Yeah, will not obey, will not accept. All mankind will not be reconciled. Go ahead, Carl.
So in effect, Christ has mended that break through his death and resurrection.
Right. He's mended the break through his death and resurrection. Go ahead.
Well, if you read the old Bible, God tried everything to bring man back to him.
Right.
With the law, with the prophets, with the flood to show him what he could do, but man...
Yeah, man never was going to come back to that.
Their way.
Yeah, yeah. And in part, the Old Testament is designed to bring us, as he's talked about earlier in this, and as Paul also talks about in Galatians, it's designed to be that schoolmaster, to help us understand we can't do it ourselves. We have to be, and this is a convincing argument that took place over centuries that says, you know, man just doesn't have it in him, no matter how good a man he is, he doesn't have it within himself to get back to God on his own. He can't do it. He can't do it.
When God sent Jonah to the Ninevites, they repented.
Right.
But it wasn't long until...
until they were back, yeah, the same kind of people. Right. But those people repented. And later on, their culture took them back down the wrong way. All right, let's go back. So this idea of reconciliation is absolutely important. We have to see the break. We have to see we can't go on that break, you know, mend the break from our end. God has mended the break, but we also have to see that we have a part to play in all this. The part to play is that we have to accept what God has done on our behalf. Now, that's also what he's going to be getting at. And in fact, that's what begins in the next, therefore, in verse 18. But let's go back to verse 12, all right? We now have this break, this reconciliation. Now look at what he says. Just as through one man, sin entered the world. When he says, just as through one man, he puts the word just. What is he trying to get across?
That sin came from the beginning.
Okay, yeah, but he says just as. Just as. He's talking about sin, he's talking about one man and sin, but what's the real topic that he's going to be talking about? Just as through one man sin entered the world.
Like or similar to.
Yeah. Just as means it's like or similar or equal to. Okay? So he's going to be talking about how through one man sin entered the world. Okay, that's the picture. But who's on the other side of the equation? Christ. So this just as is meant to point to Jesus. Just as, and we're looking at some things that have to do with Adam, we're going to see that in like manner Jesus did the same thing. So we're going to make a little chart over here. Okay? And on the one side, we're going to put Adam. And on the other side, we're going to put Jesus. Okay? Because the whole thing is meant to be when we see certain things about Adam, that's going to help us see certain things about Jesus. Just as is what that's going to point to. Okay? So here's the idea. First one is one man. Okay? Sin started with one man. Yeah, exactly. All right. One man, sin entered the world. And so, one man, and sin enters. All right. And then, what happens next? Because sin enters, what's next? Death. Happens. Okay? One man, sin enters, death through sin, and death spread to all men. Okay? One man, sin enters, death happens, it spreads to all men. Why? Why? Because? What's the next line?
All
sin. Yeah. Because all sin. Okay? So sin enters, okay, through one man, and death comes about because of that, and it spreads to all men, but it spreads to all men and as a consequence of the fact that we all what? We all sin. We all sin. All right? Now, he gets into this parenthetical statement in verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Imputed is that accounting term. It means it's not counted against them. That is one of the places where we get the understanding that we have regarding children. Because children don't understand understand what sin is because they've not been instructed yet. So if this has been the pattern of God from the beginning, that if you don't understand sin, you don't understand what sin is, then it's not counted against you. That's why we what's one of the arguments we make for not worrying about children. Okay? Because they have to learn what sin is. But the law came about to do what? To teach the world what?
But without the law, there's no sin. Not breaking anything.
Right. So the law is to teach the world what sin is. Okay? Nevertheless, sin, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Now, who's the so he's saying, you know, the law came about through Moses. So what happens between Adam and Moses? Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Well, yes and no. That's what verse 14 is going to deal with. Verse 14, he's saying now, you know, sin really wasn't, really didn't have its hold. I guess the best way to say it is this way. Sin really was not fully understood until Moses and the law was given. But sin was a reality because people died before Moses came along. Go ahead, Carl.
Wayne says that sin was not taken into account when there was no law.
Okay. Sort of.
There had to be some kind of sin.
Yeah.
But God wouldn't have destroyed
right,
the world.
Right. But remember, Paul is already talked about this in chapter 1. Okay? Now he's writing, remember, he's writing in this section about the faith response of Abraham and how Abraham had it accounted or imputed or given, you know, into his account that he was righteous because he obeyed God in faith, all right? And Abraham is the beginning of God's people. But then he goes on, and so he's dealing with the law and Jews and Gentiles. But remember, he's already dealt with Jews and Gentiles and the law. Back in chapter 1, remember in chapter 1, he says, the wrath of God, verse 18, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Now remember, in essence, sin is transgressing the law. Okay? That's one way of defining it. But he said in chapter 1, verse 18, that all men have what? We've all sinned. We've all have something manifest in us. What?
What do you have manifest? What may be known of something is manifest in us. What's
known of who? Of God. So remember, we talked about this before. All men are born with an inherent knowledge of right and wrong that comes from God within us. So there is a sense in which there is a law that is within each one of us that we transgress against. But now, he's continuing on. He's saying, look, God made sure that everybody understood fully what sin is by giving the law. But you could point back and you could see, you could point back and you can see that death, which is the consequence of sin, okay, death occurred long before Moses came along and gave the law, which means there was transgression of the law already occurring. Always have been occurring as long as man's been around. But he's trying to get across one point. And the point that he's trying to get across is the one man. Because all of this is, look at verse 14 again. All of this is, even over those who have not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. So here we have the idea that Adam is a type. And when you read type, what do you... In Scripture, what we're seeing there is a specific image that gives you the idea that when we see this, we're seeing a foreshadowing of something else that's coming, that's going to look like it. Maybe, but not going to look identical to it, because often the foreshadowing is the reverse of what you're going to see. Okay? Like a black and white negative. You ever see a black and white negative? Everything that is white on the black and white negative, when you print it, will be what? Will be black. Everything that is black on the black and white negative, when it's printed, will be white. And it's reversed. It's a negative. It's a type. And that's what Adam is. He is a type of who? Of Christ. Now, how is he a type of Christ? Well, he is the negative image of Christ. Go ahead.
Because in the beginning it said, let us make man in our image.
Okay, partly, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Just using, but so God and Christ was together when they created him.
Yeah, okay.
So the Son has been with the Father.
From the beginning, right.
From the beginning.
Yeah. Carl? You can use pattern. But pattern implies something a little bit different in the original languages. For instance, if you take a pattern, you ladies who sew, you know, if you take a pattern and lay it out on a piece of cloth and you cut the pattern, you can take that same pattern and lay it out on another piece of cloth and do what?
Make another one.
Make another one. And every time you use the pattern, you're going to come up with an identical what? Identical piece identical creation. A pattern implies something identical. Okay, a type does not imply something identical, but something similar in some fashion, even if it's in a negative fashion. So that's the difference between a pattern and a type. In some ways, a pattern is absolutely like a type, but Adam is not a pattern for Jesus. He's a type of Jesus. It's different. If he was a pattern for Jesus, what would happen?
He would have been identical.
He would have been identical to Adam. And the same things that happened to Adam would have happened to Jesus. Jesus would have brought more sin and more death. But he's not. Because see, what we're going to see is that Jesus is one man. Through this one man, righteousness enters. Okay? Through this righteousness, we're going to see that life is the result. And this life is potentially available to all men if, and the thing about it is, if you obey. So see, there's going to be the difference here. See how he's a type. You got the same pattern, right? But it's the reverse. Because Jesus brings not death, but what? Yeah, he brings life. He brings salvation, which brings us life. So he brings life, and he brings it to all men. But all men, you know, will not have life because why? Well, we all sin, but we don't all what? We don't all obey Christ. See? If we all obeyed Christ, what would happen? We'd all get life, right? So that's the difference between a pattern and a type. Okay? That's the difference between the pattern and the type. All right, go back to Mary. Mary, so his point is, yes, sin is existed. You can see how sin existed because you've got death all the way up to Moses. But Moses makes it very definitive. He makes, and now we have an absolute, we absolutely know what sin is, and we're without excuse, is basically his point. Go ahead, Carl. Well, even after, yeah, ignorance of the law is no excuse. That's true. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go back. I'm not sure where to go with that. Let's go back to verse 15. Okay, so we've got verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. All right? So here's a difference. The offense is Adam's sin. Okay? It influences all the world. For if by one man's offense many died, much he says the free gift is not like the offense. What does he mean when it says it's not like?
It's the opposite, you see, of just as. Not like is the opposite of that. So now we've changed. We were looking at things that are parallel,
but now we're looking at things that are totally different. One of the things that's different is that this that Jesus has done is called a free what? Free gift. It's a free gift. Which is the point that he was making in the paragraph before, verses 6 through 11. Jesus died for those who deserved it. No. Jesus died for those who were trying real hard. No. Jesus died for those who were good friends with God. No. Jesus died for those who were the ungodly, for those who didn't have any strength, for those who were God's enemies.
It's a free gift because we didn't deserve anything and we weren't looking for anything. You know, if you're looking for something to receive something from somebody, it's not really it's still a gift, but it's not freely given. It's more like you're coerced to give it. And the idea here is that man can't do anything to make God do something for us. But what did God decide to do anyway? Send his son, right? Go ahead.
I was just going to say that if you look back on it, Adam sinned, and then he had two sons, and that sin was passed on to one of them.
Well, actually, it was passed on to both of them, but yeah.
But one of them. And his sin became a real open thing.
Right.
And you just keep going on down. All the sins.
Yeah.
That man, from one man.
Yeah. And see, the thing about sin is like, and this is an image that that I remember reading it, and I don't remember who now it was that came up with it, but sin is like, sin flows in the world like water. Water always goes which direction? Down. Right. Water always goes down. It always seeks the lowest point, right? And as water goes down, that's the nature of sin. Sin brings us down. And as it goes down, what does it do to the land? It gathers and it makes lakes and makes rivers and makes eventually the ocean. Huh?
Leaves a scar.
That's what sin does. Sin is it follows the path of least resistance. It is the easiest thing for man to have happen into his life. Because we're letting the natural flow into our life occur. That's why sin, that's the offense. Why it continues on into all of us. It's the easiest thing for it to happen. It's the least path of least resistance. On the other hand, what is following Jesus? It's a struggle. It's like going against the current. And so that's one of the pictures that we're wanting to see is that we can't go to God, but we can receive what God has done. It's like, all right, you're in a stream, you're in a river, and it's sweeping you downstream, and someone tosses you a rope with a life preserver on the end of it, and that rope and life preserver is God and Jesus Christ. If you don't grab the life preserver, what's going to happen? Yeah, you're going to keep being swept down and you're going to drown. If you grab it, where do you have to now go? You have to go against the current. And the picture is that God is the one doing what? Pulling us in. We're going against the current and we make all the effort we can, but we also are having God pulling us against the current. That's also one of the images that is very predominant when you simplify Paul's teachings down to the barest picture. That's one of the images, is that God enables us to go against the current because he's pulling us toward him. Go ahead, Carl.
Yes. But it was said that the one thing about going to hell
It is very true. It's the easy way. That's one reason why the picture is of hell being down. In many ways, it's a metaphor. I don't know that it's actually down underneath the earth. It's a metaphor. It's designed to help us understand how easy it is. It's very easy to go downhill. It's not so easy to go up. That makes sense, Mary? Okay. I thought you were frowning, so I'm... Which word?
The type we're in, and it reminded me of, you know, like music where you have one note and it's balanced by a counter note and counter note. And literally.
In Scripture, you have the word type and you have the word antitype will occur, and so there is that balance. There's one passage that has both words in it. I think it's in Hebrews, but it is used that way. Where is it? Hebrews what? Well, when in doubt, use the concordance. We'll see. Well, okay. I don't know. Stop finding it. I'll have to look for it. But I think there is. I think it's in Hebrews somewhere that has the antitype. Let's go back though to Romans before we run out of time. Romans chapter 5 again. And I will find it for you, Mary, later. Okay. So, verse 15, it's a free gift, okay? And notice what it says, for if by one man's offense many died, in other words, not many, but everybody died, right? Much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. In other words, he's saying, as powerful as sin is, what's more powerful? Yeah, the death of Christ is more powerful. But the thing is, while it's more powerful, it's not easy. And therefore not as many, when you balance it out, are going to accept it. In other words, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, narrow is the way and straight... Oh, man. Yeah. But what's the other way? Broad is. I can't think today for some reason. But it's the idea that many are going to go one direction, right? And few are going to go the other direction. And it's a choice. It's a choice. But also, now we have not only the word gift in verse 15, but now you have the word grace in verse 15. Now, what is grace? Undeserved, what? Undeserved blessing or undeserved favor?
It's the idea that we have been given something that we don't have any reason to have. We don't have any reason. There's no reason whatsoever for God to try to save us. Fact is, it's totally illogical. What's in it for God? You know, if God were like a human being, which, you know, what business is usually conducted with the idea of, well, you know, what's in it for me? You know, I'll do this for you if you do this for me, you know, and I want something in return. But God does this with what? We can't give him anything at all that's approaching the value of what he gives us of Jesus Christ. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment came from one offense, resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Now that's kind of an interesting little statement, and we're not going to do it justice this morning. But let's take a look. Let's see what we can come up with. What many offenses resulted in justification is he talking about? What's happening there? The free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. What's the free gift? Let's start there. Christ on the cross. All right. Why is he there on the cross? Right. So what are the offenses, what are the many offenses that are associated with the free gift? Huh? The sin of mankind. See, the many offenses is us. It's not just the one, not just the people who actually put him to death and sought his death and tortured him and nailed him to the cross and all of that. But it's all of us. The many offenses is actually a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek statement. It's all of our offenses. In other words, Jesus, this is a almost, I don't know if I want to say poetic or not, but it is kind of a descriptive way of getting across the idea that when Jesus went to the cross, all of the sins of mankind were there. All of them. Past, present, and future. All of them were there. Go ahead.
Are we still crucifying Jesus? Is he still on the cross?
In a way, he is. In a way, he's always going to be on the cross because he died for all the past, all the present, and all the future sins, of which, you know, at the time that he died, we weren't even alive yet, were we? So, but he still died for our sins. And so in a way, yes, he's still on the cross, but he's also past the cross. Because what happened after the cross? Well, he was resurrected, and this resurrection is absolutely important. Go back to the previous paragraph in chapter 5. Okay, for if when we were enemies, verse 10, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his what? Now that's backwards from normal thinking, right? Because you've got death before life. Except that makes sense because Jesus did die and then he did what? Then he came back to life. And it's his resurrected life that is given to us so that we, because he took on our sins and died. So see, this is what's awesome about Jesus is that he brings life from death. And that's one of the things. Skip on down to chapter 6, okay? All right? Look at what he says in describing baptism. Look at verse 3. Do you not know that as many of us, now when he says as many of us, he's saying it's the same sort of thing as many offenses. It's all of us, okay? It's their way of saying all of us. All of us, he's talking about all Christians, all of us who are Christians, all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus. We're baptized into his death. Okay? Why? Because that's where our sins are. Our sins are took him to his death, and we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as equals like or similar or equal to, all right? Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. In other words, he was what? Brought back to life, right?
Brought him back to life.
Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Now, the idea here is that when we're raised up out of the waters of baptism, we're in a new life. What life are we in? The Christian life, or the resurrected life, or the spiritual life. It's you could talk about it in lots of different ways, okay? But it's the idea that we are in Christ's life now, which is, by the way, where you get the word Christian. What is a Christian? A Christian is one who lives what?
Like Christ.
Lives like Christ, who walks in Christ's life. Now, the word walk is important, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, but let me give you this as a way of thinking about it. It's not that we run in Christ's life, we walk in Christ's life. Because walking is what we all start out doing. It's the idea that, you know, it's the idea of making a journey from one point to another. Not, it doesn't matter how fast, as long as you're making the journey. And that's the point. All right, we're out of time, and we're past the time, and I should have stopped a couple of minutes ago. But is there any quick questions? We'll come back, and we'll deal a little bit more with this paragraph next week. All right, thank you very much for a good class. Appreciate it.